Good morning, everybody. How lovely to be with you this morning. I don't know about you, but I've been walking a lot more in lockdown, especially as we were told at the beginning of lockdown that we were allowed our daily exercise and we could do walking or cycling. Well, cycling just isn't really my thing, so walking seemed really good to me. And I've really enjoyed taking the opportunity to walk more in my local area. And as I walk, I've realised that I'm more aware of my surroundings. I notice things that I haven't noticed before, and when I take the time just to look and to listen, I often hear many types of birds, despite all the traffic noise that's going on around me. I enjoy the beauty of creation, seeing what people are growing in their gardens. I've enjoyed conversations with people I met, people I know, and those who are strangers at the beginning. I've also noticed the change in the seasons and the weather each week. Sometimes it's a chance when I walk to catch up on the day, to catch up with a friend, spend time with Jesus. It's an opportunity to see and hear. And I've also used my walks to pray. And before I go out, as I did this morning, I asked for God's protection and guidance as to where I was going. And during the walk, I look around and I see what I should pray for. Sometimes it's something I see or hear. At other times it may be somebody that I see, and I take the opportunity to pray for something that I notice. Often it's praying for an ambulance and the crew and where they're going, because there's been plenty of those. Sometimes I take a photo. Sometimes I just chat with the Lord. I've been out in all weathers, including the day it snowed, and it's a time I found to be really precious and one that I really look forward to. I found that a walk can be a great stress reliever as well as a chance to get some fresh air and just clear my head. I've also had a few walks with others, and that brings a chance to catch up in person, which is a great thing. Often we end up talking about lockdown, but we talk about other things as well. Today in our passage, we're going to look at two disciples who were walking together. You may want to open your Bibles and have them open at Luke 24 so that you can follow along with the story as we go through. So these two disciples had been to the Passover and it ended up experiencing much more than they perhaps thought they were going to. In the verses just before the ones that Eileen so beautifully read for us, we read about the women who had visited the tomb with the spices they had prepared. When they got there, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They didn't find the body of Jesus because Jesus has risen. They were reminded that Jesus had told them that would happen. And in Luke 24, verse 6, it says, "He's not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was with you in Galilee." They were reminded of this. He told them that he would be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And that's all in those verses. At this point, the women remember what they've been told. And they went back full of joy and told the 11 remaining disciples all that they had seen and heard. The men didn't believe them and had to go and see for themselves. We were told that the words seemed like nonsense to them. These were Jesus' closest followers, and they needed to be reminded of all Jesus had said to them. And even after Peter visits the tomb and sees the strips of linen by themselves, he's still wondering what happened. That's verse 12. Peter got up, bending over. He saw the strips of linen, and he went away wondering what had happened. He still wasn't quite there. And it was on this same day that the story continues about these two disciples walking along the road to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And naturally for them, they're talking and discussing about all that has happened. What are the possibilities of Christ's resurrection? Big question for them as they're walking along. And as they're walking, we're told that Jesus came alongside them. He walked with them, two became three walking along the road. The Amplified version of this tells us that Jesus himself caught up with them and was already accompanying them. Just stop for a moment. Just think about that. Jesus is walking along with them. But God has kept them from recognizing who Jesus is. Imagine if they straight away Jesus had come alongside and said, "I'm Jesus." I don't think their reaction would have been quite the same. So they were kept from recognizing him. Would they really have understood if he'd announced who he was straight away? He knew them, even if they didn't recognize him. So the walk would have taken several hours, plenty of opportunity for these two friends to chat, and plenty of opportunity to spend some time with Jesus. So, who are these people on the walk? Well, one of them, we are told, is called Cleopas, and he could well be the same person who's mentioned in John 19, verse 25, when it says, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." The other we don't know the name of, and they remain anonymous. And when we read this, perhaps we can imagine that the person could be any one of us. It could be one of us. You can imagine yourself in the story as that other disciple. Of course, it could be as simple as the fact that Cleopas was walking home with his wife. But I really like the idea that we can put ourselves in this story. Here were two people who had encountered Jesus before this day. They were disciples journeying together in fellowship, just as we are. And just like us, they had repeated times of meeting Jesus in their lives. So they did know who he was. Just like us, their lives were punctuated with times of feeling closer to Jesus. For us, these times can be the ones that we share with others because they stand out more in what's going on. And it is important that we share what Jesus is doing in our lives, as we did on Testimony Sunday. Sharing your life about Jesus can be as simple as just talking to somebody about what's going on and what you've heard, something you've read or felt in your life. This time, however, they were kept from recognising him. So what else do we know about these disciples? Well, this wasn't the first time they'd met Jesus. They had encountered him before, and they may have seen him healing, performing miracles. They may even have been there when he fed the 5,000. We are told that they knew about Jesus of Nazareth. They're not part of the 12 disciples, the inner circle, but they knew he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. We're told that in verse 19. And they thought in verse 21 that he would redeem Israel. In fact, that's what they hoped for. They were expecting and hoping for a Messiah who would be like the kings of old, a new David, who would take power in a conventional sense. The Messiah would overthrow the Roman rulers by force, establish a new kingdom in Jerusalem, and enforce peace and justice through all the earth. And that little quote comes from a book I'm reading called Comfortable Words by Stephen Croft. That's what they thought the Messiah was going to be. A warrior, a hero. He was going to set them free from Roman rule. Well, Jesus was going to do these things, but in a different way to perhaps how they expected. So how are they feeling when they meet Jesus at this time? In verse 17, it tells us that they're downcast. They stood still, looked dejected, overwhelmed by the events that had just happened. It was the only thing on their minds. When this stranger asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" they are amazed. "What things?" he wants to know. "Why are you so sad?" Jesus notices how they're feeling. He notices their sorrows and their sadness. He's compassionate. They are astonished. Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days? They're trying to make sense of all that's happened. It's been traumatic for them, and they couldn't comprehend that anybody else wouldn't know what was going on. They had unmet expectations, and it was expecting how they felt, despite what they knew. They were comforting one another at this sad time of grief. The week before, people had been waving palm branches and praising God, and now the chief priests and the rulers had handed him over to be crucified, the cruelest of deaths. It was hard for them to understand. Sometimes we can't understand why others don't feel the same way as we do about things. What we see in the world doesn't match the hope we have. How can these things be happening? It can be confusing and hard to understand. They want to share their story with this stranger about what's happened, and Cleopas starts by sharing this story. The death of Jesus had been such a big event in Jerusalem that Cleopas couldn't imagine that anybody didn't know the story, but he was willing to tell it. Jesus already knows the story, but he listens to what they have to say. He meets them where they're at, and he listens before he explains things to them. The disciples go on to tell Jesus who they thought he was. It's a real summary of who Jesus is in these verses and tells us a lot about Jesus' character. Let's read again verses 20 to 22. The chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning. And carrying on in verse 23 and 24, it tells us, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But they didn't see Jesus. They call him Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet who was highly regarded. They knew where he came from. He had a great reputation before the people of God. It's a simple story of who Jesus is in those few verses. But Jesus already knows this story. It had happened to him. Their disappointment and the reason for their sadness in verse 21. It's the third day since all this took place. We don't know what's happening. They hoped he was going to redeem Israel. They trusted. They were amazed that their hopes hadn't been met, that he'd been handed over and crucified. They go on to tell about the women going to the tomb and finding it empty, the women who saw the vision of angels, who said that Jesus was alive. Where was Jesus' body? Where was Jesus? The disciples, they saw the empty tomb and still they didn't understand. They had heard it all. Jesus had told them what would happen, but still they didn't understand. They were hesitant to embrace the resurrection. Jesus, at this point, calls them foolish. They are slow to believe what has happened and what they have witnessed in. They would have known the scriptures and the prophecies about Jesus, but they still hadn't connected the dots. They needed to hear from Jesus himself once again to have their eyes opened. Jesus begins to explain. He makes himself known to them by what he says. He's walking and he's telling them all about himself. At this point, they're still not quite amazed, but they're obviously listening intently. They're hearing about Jesus and they're hearing about God's story from Jesus. He told them things in the scriptures about him. He shows them why he had to suffer, why he had to die. He shows them that. He tells them about his resurrection. And I struggled with this a little bit when I was first reading it, about what he was telling them, but I read something from Selwyn Hughes who said, the important thing is that he wanted to get across to them was the fact that all the Old Testament truths converge on him. Jesus explained the whole story from Moses through the prophets. He explained in verse 27 all that was said in the scriptures concerning himself. Jesus talking about himself. I can imagine them there listening intently, and the journey probably passed a little quicker as they were listening, and soon they were approaching the village where they were going. Jesus continues as if he's going to go on a bit further, but they stop him. Come on, stay with us. It's getting late. They invite him in. He doesn't force himself on them, but they invite him in. They sit down and they eat together, and he takes the bread and he breaks it and he gives it to them. And at that point, he reveals himself to them. Their eyes are open, we're told. They recognize him. He disappears. His work is complete with them. At last, they are amazed. And what a conversation goes on now. They knew they'd been listening to Jesus. They had gained not just head knowledge, but something in their hearts as well, a new understanding of Jesus. Verse 32 tells us, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They compare not just the notes of what they've heard, but what's actually going on deep inside them. Everything they had heard, they realized, sounded powerful. It was the word of God breaking through into their lives, and it can do the same for us today. In Luke 11, 28, we're told, blessed rather those who hear the word of God and obey it. And as we heard earlier in the passage in Ephesians, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. The word of God is powerful. And when we listen to the word of God, when we read the Bible for ourselves, we can know that word of God as powerful in our own lives. The word of God changes lives. As Jesus was talking to them, all things became plain and clear. Jesus had been walking on the road with them. He met them where they were at. He talked to them. He opened the scriptures to them. He changed their lives from sorrow to joy. He gave them a really good foundation. He told them about who he was, why he had come, why he had to die, why he had to suffer. I was reading this week a little poem, and I'm going to just read you a verse from it about this passage because I just think it will help us. It's from a book by D.A. Carson. It says, the two walked home, study in defeat and loss, explaining to a stranger why the gloom, how Jesus seemed to be the king before his cross, how their hopes lay buried in his tomb. How slow you are to see Christ's glorious pilgrimage ran through the cross, and then he broke the bread. Their eyes were opened and they grasped the scripture's truth. The man who taught them had arisen from the dead. In fact, at this point, these two disciples are so full of joy that they get up at once and they go back to Jerusalem. 7 miles off they go. They went to find the 11. They had to share what had happened in their lives. If anyone was in doubt, this was life-changing. They were transformed. Up to this point, they weren't sure. They were full of disappointment at what they thought would happen. The story had a different ending to the one they thought of. And as I was reading this, I was thinking about how much Jesus just cares for individuals, and how important it is for each of us individually to understand that he died for each one of us, that he loves us, that he loves you and that he loves me. The disciples were travelling on a road to the village. At the beginning of this story, they are downcast, confused and sad. And at the end, they are full of joy and understanding about how much Jesus has done for them. He transforms them, and he can do the same for us. Because Jesus travels on the road with us. But do we recognise him? Do we spend time getting to know him so that when he appears, we recognise him in our lives? We recognise his spirit within our lives. He can turn things around. He can make things seem very different. He doesn't necessarily take us out of any situation, but he comes and he walks with us. I think one of the reasons I love doing the prayer walking is I feel Jesus walking along that road with me, chatting to me, helping me to share what's going on in my life. Often I'm telling him about all sorts of things, but I find that's really good. And just like these disciples, he walks with me at those times. Will you let Jesus walk with you and be your guide? I've been reading a book about meeting Jesus, and I'm going to just read a short quote from this book because I just feel it's been really helpful, Meeting Jesus. It's a book by Jeremy Duff and Joanna Collicutt-McGrath. Meeting Jesus, Human Responses to a Yearning God. The narrative of the Emmaus Road speaks powerfully to us as disciples of Jesus travelling on the way. Goes on to say, the journey of faith is a journey from an initial meeting with him, punctuated by moments or periods of re-encounter. For most people do not experience the continual, steady presence of God, but rather a cycle of ebbs and flows, moments of closeness and times of distance. For a time, Jesus came close to these disciples on the road to Emmaus. He walked with them, ate with them, and then he travelled on. The effect that this meeting had on them is crucial. They were transformed from dejected folk whose hopes had been dashed, who were in mourning for their leader, perhaps understandably fleeing the scene of the action of the last few days. Their meeting with Jesus left them energised and excited, having made sense of some of these events, and with the conviction that they had met their Lord. They'd been travelling in a way that they thought was right for them, but when they met Jesus, it all changed. He challenged them. He explained things to them and he showed them the way forward. They were changed. And I pray that we too, as we experience Jesus in our lives, will be changed. As we walk with him day by day, maybe not the way we thought we were going to go. Maybe our lives will not take the path we thought they were going to take. But when we walk with Jesus, he's always there for us, guiding us and leading us forward. I'm going to finish with a poem from the same book towards the end, a chance for us just to listen and to reflect on this story. Our Lord often comes upon us unawares where we are. He may walk the way beside us. At first, we may not recognise him. He is as likely to bring a challenge as comfort. We see things in a new light. What previously did not make sense starts to make some sort of sense, though this is often shot through with paradox. We are nourished and refreshed. We are energised and redirected from our own agendas towards the concerns of others. We would like the meeting to be prolonged. The meeting may take place in the context of reading the Bible or participating in the Last Supper. We will recognise Jesus because he will be like the Jesus we already know and the Jesus of the New Testament. Afterwards, we may have a story to tell, and we will certainly have a memory to treasure. We know that we are known and are loved. We cannot manufacture such meetings, but we can respond and invite our Lord to stay a while. We cannot hold on to him, but we can live in hope of his return. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much that you walk with us day by day. Help us to feel and to recognize that closeness when we need it. Help us to be willing to change the way we may do things, to go on the path that you have set for each one of us. Thank you for the gifts and challenges that you give us. Thank you for the friends that you give us to walk on the way with us. Thank you that as we walk with you, you walk with us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.